Y'all awful quiet tonight. Do you realize that this is the last time you ever can be in church in 2014? And just, in fact, Rhema, Australia, when I got up this morning, I saw on my Facebook where they put pictures up where they had already celebrated the new year because, you know, yeah, the international dateline, and they're about 22 hours ahead of us over there, so... We catch that, you know, when we do our Asia trip and we go over there. Well, we're going that way, we lose time, and then we lose a day. And then when we fly back across, we gain the day back. The first time I run into that was in 1965 when I was coming home from the Army. I guess I ran into it going over, but I didn't realize it. But coming home, I left Taipei, Taiwan at 5 o'clock in the morning on August the 18th. And I landed in Travis Air Base right there by Oakland, California on August 18th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So that was sort of funny. That was the first time I experienced that. Now, with traveling with the Ramas all over the world, I mean, I've done it bunches of times. I don't know which direction. We're going to Europe this year, I think. When we try to figure out where to go, you know, with 197 schools in 46 nations, it's a little bit difficult to try to get to all of them and still be here too. So I'm going to start sending some of these. I'm starting to send Craig. He likes to go down to, especially to Brazil, so I'm starting to send him out on those some. Well, you know, as you think about it, nothing is in front of us but new opportunities, new possibilities. Anything that has happened is history, and it can't be changed. But you can do something about tomorrow. You know, you can choose what you want to do with the upcoming year. It's your choice. You know, as we go into a new year, many people, some people will probe the past, trying to figure out how they could have changed the past. It doesn't make any difference how you could have changed. You can't change it. So why mess with it? Hello? And then, you know, some people are just trying to preserve everything exactly the way it is. They don't. No changes. Just stay where you are. And I've always noticed that things that just stay still become stagnant. That's right. That's right. But then there are some people that pursue the prize, moving on to better things. Hallelujah. You know, let me ask you a question. If somebody handed you $1,440 every day for the next year, and you had to spend every dollar each day, what would you spend it on? The truth is, you get 1,440 minutes every day the next year. How you choose to spend it is up to you. The Apostle Paul talks about making the right choices and conducting yourself in the right way. And he sort of compares the Christian life to running a race in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. I'll wait till everybody gets there. You know, I go too fast sometimes because I copy and paste them, you know, and I got them right here. I don't even have to turn to them. That's the easiest way to do it. All right, is everybody ready? Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now, he is probably talking about what used to be back then with the Grecian games, and this is Corinth, so that's what he was talking about. That's where we get the Olympic Games from. They do not get a. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it a slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, you know, Paul seems to have had an interest in sports because he of this the way he presents this here and in some others of his writings. I wonder if he had been around today, I wonder if he would have been watching the bowl games. He probably would, because he was interested in the Grecian games. We know that for a fact from reading from what we can gather from his life and from the statements that he makes here in the Word of God. And then he talks about how that he conducted his own race, his own personal Christian race. I have fought the good fight, 2 Timothy 4:7. I didn't give you a chance to turn there, did I? All right, I better slow down. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, I want to modify that just a little bit. He said, I have fought a good fight. I want to modify it to us tonight, and I want to say, let's fight the good fight. He's at the end of his course. We still have stuff to do, and I want to say, fight a good fight. And then in 1 Timothy 6:12. He defines the fight, kind of fight you get involved with. You know, there's, if you talk about fighting, and I'm not talking about wrestling on just television stuff. That's now the MMA is not, but that ultimate fighting, that's real stuff. But boxing, college wrestling, high school wrestling, they all, it's a different kind of a fight. It's different. You got different sports and they all got different rules and different things you go by. Well, Paul says here, he said he defines the kind of fight. You see, and I use my own self, and now, hey, if I got any kids listening, don't do this. But I did, because I was dumb. You know, all right, I'm going to get in a fight with a guy. Okay, what kind of fight are we going to fight? We're going to use just regular boxing rules, or is it no holds barred? Kicking, hair pulling, whatever. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? When I was in the Army, I guess I shouldn't tell this, but I will anyway. I got challenged by a guy one day at the NCO club. You know, that's the non-commissioned officers club. And people know if you're been in service, you know what I'm talking about. And I was there eating, and this guy, he came up and he challenged me. And I didn't pay much attention to him. And one of the sergeants came over and he said, Hagin, he said, you're going to lose all respect. He said, you're going to have to take it. I said, he's littler than I am. And I said, number one, I said, I'm going to beat him bad. He said, it don't make no difference. If you're going to lose all respect of everybody. Any of you guys been in the service know what I'm talking about? So I said, okay, come on, let's go. And so we went out back and on. And we had to have it was in Taipei, Taiwan. We had to have a coat and tie on, to go in the club. So I had pulled off my my tie and hung my coat on somebody's radio antenna and of their car. And I said, okay, what kind of fight you want to fight? His name. Well, I started calling his name, but I better not call his name. Anyway, he might be listening. And he said, okay, we just fight, normal boxing fight. Okay, so we were fighting around, and I was getting the best of him, and finally I knocked him down, and he dove at my legs, and when he did, I said, okay, that's the way you want to fight. I spun around, came down on top of him, and that was about all there was to the fight, because when I spun and came up off the ground, and he was down, and I came down, and I had my graduation ring right there, and it ended it right there. That was all it was to the fight. But and so I went back in, and I told Sergeant Conley, I said, man, I didn't want to do that. And he said, if you hadn't, you would have lost the respect of everybody on your team. He said, you had no choice, because and I said, all right. But you see, he said he wanted to fight the regular fight. Then he changed the rules in the middle of the fight. So now I got to change the rules in the middle of the fight, or I'm going to get in trouble. So Paul here tells us what kind of fight he went in 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, to which you were called when you made your confession in the presence of many witnesses. See, the good fight of faith. What is the good fight of faith? It is the fight to maintain our position with God, our faith in God, because the enemy is trying to steal that from us. See, most people think their fight's with the devil. Your fight's not with the devil. Jesus already defeated him. The devil is not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is not letting all of the peripheral things that come in upon us and push in upon us steal away our faith. Y'all there, y'all gone home already. You're getting awful quiet. You know, how many of you realize that there are things that come in to us through the eye gate, the ear gate, in different ways that tries to steal our faith from us? Anybody ever realize that? Tries to say, well, nah, wait a minute, this is not going to work this time. Now, here's some things that we can do in order to fight the good fight. Now he talks about a runner over here. When we read the first verses we read, he talks about runners running. Well, I was in athletics. I was a runner, a sprinter really, in track. But any kind of athletics that you go into, the number one thing you have to do is that you have to go into strict training. You have to train, prepare yourself. You can't allow yourself to do some things that other people would do. Even though there's nothing wrong with them, those things in them, wrong with the things in themselves, but you're in training. You know, if you ever been around these guys that train for weightlifting, and they always get a certain amount of sleep. I mean, the ones that do it in competition, they get a certain amount of sleep. They have a certain diet that and that's a regimented diet. Guys that are in training to box for a championship, they go into training for 6 months. They have strict rules. They run every day at the same time, they run a certain amount of miles. They do everything right on a strict regimen. When I was running track in high school, We had a strict regiment that we did that the coach wanted us to do. He didn't want us drinking any pop of any kind. And then we had other things that we had to do. If you're going to be good at anything, you have to be strict in discipline. Really, that probably what I should say is be strict in your discipline. If you're going to keep your faith, you got to be disciplined with your prayer life. You got to be disciplined in reading the Word of God. You know, it's no fun to have to get up and to go and to work out every morning or every evening or whenever you do it. And a lot of times you don't want to work out. But if you're in training, you go work out. The same thing with the Word of God. You see, in 1 Corinthians 9:25, now Paul's talking here again. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Okay? 1 Corinthians 9:25. Going back to that same verse. We'll stay in that for a bit. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. NIV says. They do it to get the crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. Now, number two that will help you to fight the good fight is that you have a specific goal in mind. You know, he goes on to say in 9:26, I don't run like a man just running, aimlessly or just running. I don't fight like a man just beating the air. You know, remember in the back in the Old Testament, and so the head of David's army sent a runner to tell him what was going on because they didn't have any internets and they didn't have any telegraphs and they didn't have any telephones, so they had runners. And this other guy, he said, I want to run. And finally he bugged the captain so much. He said, okay, go ahead and run. Now, he outran the other guy. And when he got there, King David, asked him, he said, what's the news? Oh, I don't know. I'm just running. He told him, stand aside. He was running aimlessly. He had no goal in mind. There was no reason for him to be running other than running. You know, some people are like that. They have no specific goals in mind. Even people pray sometimes. I know my dad used to tell one of the churches that he pastored there when he left the last church when I was in the middle of my third grade year. But we used to have altars in the church. Anybody ever remember when they had altars down here in the church and everybody would come down and kneel at the altar and pray before they went home? And he was going down the altar and he'd ask people, he'd say, what are you praying for? What are you praying for? And he said, most of the time they say, oh, nothing in specifically, I'm just praying. And he said, that's what you're going to get, nothing specifically. Because the Word of God says for us to ask for what we need. All right? You got to have a goal in mind. You got to know where you're going. What are you doing all of this for? Well, we're doing it for our eternal reward. That's what we're doing it for. You had guys playing today in bowl games, and they started out way back in August working out. And their goal was to get to the championship. Well, they fell short of the championship because the four teams that were playing the semifinals in the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl, and then the two winners out of that would play for the championship. But they got a bowl. They played in a bowl game. They had specific goals in mind when they started. They started out to win a championship. You got to know what you're running for. You got to know why you're doing it. You just don't do it to be doing it. The Word of God tells you what you're doing it for. You're doing it for life and more abundant life, the Bible says. And I could go on there, but I better go on because it's already 15 till. Now, you keep yourself under control. He says there in 9:27. 9:27, he says, I beat my body, I make it a slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Keep your body. And what we need to realize here is that we touch the world with our eyes and our ear gates. And the devil is the god of this world, says so in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And he'll try to come in through those. And so you got to keep it, everything under control. You got to say, no, we don't do that. Oh, it won't hurt you this time. Just one time more. Yes, it will. Oh, I guess I better go on there. Somebody said, you're meddling now. Well, the Word of God talks about living a life of holiness with God. Now, I'm not talking about how long your hair is or whether you wear makeup or whether you don't, because that's some of the junk from years gone by. But that's not, has anything to do with holiness. Holiness is keeping yourself, what Paul said, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You got to keep it clean, okay? I could go on and on, but I won't. Paul said, if you want to win the prize, you got to do it in the right way. Yeah, you got to do it in the right way. See, so you won't be disqualified. If you don't do it correctly, you disqualify yourself. How many times do we hear it on the news? These athletes making thousands of dollars disqualify themselves by taking a substance that they're not supposed to take. And they disqualify themselves. They get suspended. Or they don't play according to the rules. And they disqualify themselves. You see, Paul talks about here, some people say, oh, you can live the way you want to. But Paul talks about disqualifying yourself. If we live in line with the Word of God, we don't have to worry about it. Some people say, oh, you're putting people under condemnation. No, I'm not putting you under condemnation. Hey, just live in line with the Word of God and you don't have to even be concerned about it. Live a right life. Now, you know, you have to fight to maintain a diet. Because the minute you say, oh, I'm going to go on a diet, I'm going to lose some weight. I mean, somebody will come over with your favorite dessert. Here, Pastor, here, I made this pie for you. Oh. Now, I almost have to take a bite of it, because if I don't, they're going to ask me, how'd you like the pie? How many of you have ever, you say, I'm going to go on a diet, and your friend or somebody, they come over your house or you go with them somewhere, and they put the very tempting thing in front of you that you're not supposed to eat? What'd she say? What are friends for? Yeah. So you have to fight to maintain your program. So whatever race you run this next year, there'll be a fight, but it's not a fight you can't win. Okay? Now, you never get the prize if you don't finish the race. Remember he said here, I've fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You know, anybody can start a race, But it takes somebody with training, desire, goal setting to win a race, Amen. To finish the race. You know, I was junior in high school. I was running the 220 yard. They call it 200 now, but they used to run it at 220 yards and run it. They run it on the curve. And we were running at a brand new track, and I drew the inside lane. And you start over here, and you come around the corner and down. And as I was coming around the corner, it's a brand new track that just, and so it's the cinder track. Not nothing like these tracks today that have the spring in them and all that. It's a whole bunch of cinders. And evidently there was a hole that didn't get filled up, but it got filled up with a bunch of cinders. And I put my foot down in it, and my ankle turned, and I went down. And I could have quit. But I just gritted my teeth and took off. And I come back with that. I mean, everybody had passed me. I mean, you know, I mean, it, I might as well. But I came back within, you know, I got second place within, I think, a couple hundred seconds of beating the guy. And, you know, and they had to, by the time I got over there, my ankle was so swollen that they had to take scissors and cut my sock off and my shoe and stuff. But, you know, I said, hey, I didn't come here on the bus to start a 220. I came here to race a 220, and I'm not going to quit. And now you see where my cannot be defeated, I will not quit. That's my attitude. You know that. But you got to finish the race. You know, in the new year, this new year, people are going to start goals and set goals, and they're going to attempt to run the race and gain the prize. You know, maybe you want to lose weight. Maybe you want to stop a bad habit. Maybe you're going to pay off some debt, go back to school, whatever it is. Okay, now I want to give you some things that can help you finish your race. You know, there's a story of one of the small African countries sent the runner. He was running the marathon, 26 miles, 400 yards. And or 400 meters, 26 miles, 400 meters now. Anyway, the stadium was almost empty. It was about an hour or two after the runners had come in. And all of a sudden, the officials heard the sirens, and coming through the gate into the stadium was this runner from this small African country. He was bloody. He's bleeding. His elbows were bleeding. His knees were bleeding. He was limping and barely able to run. And he finished the race, and the people that was left began to cheer him, and some of the athletes that were still there began to clap and cheer for him. And when he finished, they asked him, they said, listen, the last runner that come in, we thought it was all over. It was 2 hours ago. And now here you come in. He said, why didn't you quit? He said, my country didn't send me, I forget how many thousand miles, he said, to start a race. They sent me here to finish a race. You know, I think that's something we have to finish our race. Spiritually and in the natural. What I'm talking to you about tonight goes, it runs both in the natural and the spiritual. It works in both areas of our lives. First off all, you got to realize that it is a marathon, not a sprint race. Now, I was a sprinter and I could sprint for 200 yards, but I guess I could have run the mile, but I didn't because I didn't like it. But our race that we're running in life and in our spiritual life, it's a marathon. So we got to pace ourselves. Now, I do know this much because I hear the coach talking to the milers and the 2 milers. They say, now pace yourself. You got to run your race, in other words. See, people will try to get you to run their race. You'll hear it, and you'll hear it all the time with teams playing ball. You'll hear them saying, "Hey, they're getting the other team to play their game." No, you got to play your game. You got to run your race. I don't care. Don't look at somebody else. Don't compare yourself with somebody else. See, realize it's a marathon race, and pace yourself, and then don't compare yourself to somebody else. Because we're all different. Run your own race. Run your own race. You know, people have to do it their way. I don't study the way other ministers study. I study the way I study. I had a friend of mine. He came in my office years and years and years ago. I got music going on. He said, "How in the world can you study with that music?" I said, "I can't study if it's not on." I mean, I've been that way ever since when I was in school. I always studied with music on. I don't know why, but he said, "Man, I couldn't do that at all." He said, "That would distract me." But see, what I'm trying to say, we are all different. We all got to do it our ways. What I'm trying to get you to realize, you got to run your race with God. You got to run your own personal race in life the way you do it. You can't compare yourself to somebody else. In fact, I got a message that I preach to ministers called the disease of comparisonitis. And the disease of comparisonitis has killed more ministers than anything else. Because they're comparing themselves to the buddy they went to Bible college with. They're comparing themselves to another minister. The only thing you got to compare yourself to, I tell them in the ministry, I tell them, is are you where God called you to be, and are you doing what God called you to do? That's all that's important. I don't care what they're doing. And that's the same with you. Are you running your race the way God has asked you to do it, and are you doing what God has asked you to do? See, we're not all supposed to be preachers. God needs people in every walk of life. I don't care what it is. Electricians, plumbers, mechanics, doctors, medical people, engineers, petroleum, oil people, gas people. God needs people everywhere. And if you look around, you can see that he gives people to do those things. See, some people want to preach. I've known some people in my life, you know, that wanted to preach. And yet, when they would go out and get in business, everything they touched just exploded. But they wanted to preach, and they kept trying to preach. Didn't work. I told a man one time, he wanted to pastor a church so bad. And he started a church, and as long as he would call here and talk to me or Tony Cook and do what we told him to do, everything would go fine. But if he had to do it on his own, he is lost. He's started three churches and closed them, and I finally told him. I said, "You're a great second man. You are a great associate. Because as long as you have a plan to follow, you do great. But," I said, "if you have to be the one doing the coming up with the ideas, you don't do so good." He got mad at me. And that was after the second one. And he went out and started a third one, and it messed up. And then he went and became an associate and did a fantastic job. But you see, he wanted to do it his way rather than why God had him the race that God wanted him to run. You got to run the race. You know, just because somebody's a preacher, you don't have to be a preacher. In fact, a lot of times you can do more ministry one-on-one in your job than I'll ever do standing behind this pulpit. Okay, don't compare yourself. And then run your race one step at a time. Take it one step at a time. And then the next one is stay focused on the finish line. You have to stay focused on what's the finish line. And then you keep the reward in mind for that great day when he'll say to you, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Hello. Now keep the faith. Don't you think Paul had a lot of opportunities to lose his faith? Persecutions, difficulties, hardships, you can read about them. Even his past life. He held the coats while they stoned Stephen. He's the one that went around killing Christians. Don't you know that the enemy bugged him all the time? Said, "Well, you're out here trying to win the world. Look at what you did." But see, he didn't focus on that. That was the past. He said, forgetting things that are behind, I press on. Okay. In the upcoming year, you're going to have numerous opportunities. As we say in the vernacular, throw in the towel. Quit. You're going to have a lot of opportunities to turn your back on God. And quit your race. Maybe you do everything that you know to do and it still doesn't seem like that's enough. But just keep going. Keep hanging on. Paul's advice for that, when you've done everything, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, just stand. Don't turn your back on what you believe. God honors faith. Determined to spend your 1,440 minutes that you get each day fighting the good fight of faith and heading toward the finish line and staying in the faith and focused on what the final goal is. And that's to receive the crown of righteousness when he says, "Well done, well done, well done." Hope you got something out of this. Just thought I'd try to give you something to face the next year with, because we're going to do that in about 4 hours. You're going to be facing the new year. And in 4 hours, everything that happened in 2014 will be history. So close the door on it and set your face forward to the opportunities that God will give you out here in the future and run your race. Heavenly Father, we tried to talk to these people for a few moments just to stir up their pure minds to focus on what they need to do in the natural and what they need to do in the spiritual in this next year. May each of us take our 1,440 minutes each day and live them the way we know to live them, so that at the end of the day, we can say, "I fought a good fight today. I finished my course today. I kept the faith. I'll do it all over again tomorrow." Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody stand, please. Trust you got something out of that. I saw several of you writing it down. That's good. Remember it. Get it out and read it every once in a while. All right? Praise the Lord. If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know Him. If you need to rededicate your life, if you need an also experience with God, you don't know whether you're serving God or not, you just go to church. A lot of people do that. Or if you need prayer for anything, as we're dismissed, come to the front. The prayer partners here will pray with you and your life will change. We'll see you here Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, be here. 9 o'clock in School of the Bible. And then don't forget, next Sunday night, the time changes to 6 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock. So remember that. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, "I'm going to run my race. How about you?" God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now.